In 2 Timothy chapter number 1, this has been on my heart for several days now. The Bible said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. My text verse is in verse number 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. If you would, pray with me a few minutes. Father, thank you today for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you for these that have gathered here today. And I pray, dear Lord Jesus, that you'll speak to our hearts this day. Help us, our Lord, to get the message across that you've burned in our hearts. And Lord, I pray today that you would speak to the hearts of every individual here today. Lord, every one of us could be closer to our Savior. And Lord, there may be those here today that don't know you yet. I pray that today would be the day they might consider Jesus. They might consider eternity. They might consider, Lord, the love that you have for them. And Lord, receive you as their Lord and their Savior. Lord, we pray today in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. The Word of God uses a word here that's not really common in our English language today. It's not used a lot. And it's the word unfeigned. Unfeigned faith is what's given here in the text. And this is making reference to Timothy, to Timothy's grandmother, and to Timothy's mother. And before the mother had that unfeigned faith, the grandmother had it. And before Timothy had that unfeigned faith, his mother had it. And one of the things that I don't want to miss today is that this kind of faith can be passed down from generation to generation. No mother can be saved for her child. But I tell you what a mother can do. They can have such faith and live their life in such a way that their children would want to serve the same God that they serve and trust the same God that they trust. The word unfeigned means just simply, if you could remember this, it means sincere. It's a sincere faith. And it also means this, and I'm going to show you in our King James Bible how that the same Greek word is used in different manners in the verses. It also means without hypocrisy. Moms, let me say this to you. Dads, I could say the same thing. Unfeigned faith is the same at the house as it is at church. Unfeigned faith is the same on the job as it is at the church and at the house. It's not something, if it's a sincere faith and if it's without hypocrisy. Have you ever heard somebody say, oh, so-and-so's the same wherever you meet them? By the way, for the children of God, that's exactly how it ought to be. Amen. Amen. If you wouldn't tell a filthy joke in here, then you shouldn't tell one out there. If you wouldn't listen to one in here, you shouldn't listen to one out there. If there's something you wouldn't do in here, then you shouldn't do it out there. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, there's faith, this unfeigned faith, is a sincere faith without hypocrisy. In Romans 12, I'm just giving you a couple examples. This is the same Greek word, let love be without dissimulation. And that word dissimulation there is the same Greek word that means hypocrisy. Let your love be without hypocrisy. In 2 Corinthians 6:6, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. That's the same word that's being used in Timothy. And then, of course, in 1 Timothy 5, we read, and then the Bible said in 1 Timothy 5, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. That's 1 Timothy 1:5. And then we have our text in 2 Timothy 1:5, and then in James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's the same word being used right there. And then the last example, this is the only times it's used in our Bible, 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. I hope you're getting the idea of how the word's used. It means sincere, and it means without hypocrisy. I know that some people will say, well, I'm not going to go to church. Why not, preacher? Oh, there's too many hypocrites down there. I always ask this question. Are there any hypocrites at the gas station? Have you quit buying gas? Are there any hypocrites at the bank? Have you quit going to the bank? I want to tell you something about hiding behind a hypocrite. You have to be smaller than it is to hide behind it. You can't hide behind something that, beloved, is not bigger than what you are. Amen? And so don't, listen, get tripped up. If we're here today and we have that sincere faith, that faith that's absent of hypocrisy, God knows that. And you know that. Amen? And I appreciate that. I want to notice three things in the message today concerning this unfeigned faith. Timothy is being addressed by Paul. Timothy is Paul's son in the faith. And I want us to notice the timing of Paul's statement concerning this unfeigned faith. I believe the time is important. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? This is the last book that Paul will write before he dies. This is the last book that the Apostle Paul will write. He's writing to his son in the faith. And beloved, listen to me. You might have something good enough to live by, but the question today is the faith that you have good enough to die by? The Apostle Paul was talking about an unfeigned faith. I remember what an old preacher said years ago. He said, God's people die well. You say, Pastor, why is that? Because, beloved, that faith that started in my life in 1987, amen, will be, if it's unfeigned and it's sincere and it's without hypocrisy, it'll be the same on the last day of my life as it was on the first day when I got saved. Amen. It's faith in Christ. Paul is in prison in Rome. He's going to be executed in the near future. And knowing this, he addresses Timothy, his son, in the faith. I want to notice something here today, and I think this is good about the timing. In verse number 2, he says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the only place in Paul's writings where he usually uses grace and peace. Grace and peace. He's writing to a young preacher, and our young preachers need to pay attention to this right here. He includes the word mercy. I'm going to tell you something. He knew that God's men were going to need mercy to go with that grace and that peace. This is what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, did you ever notice this one thing about Christian ministers? That they need even more mercy than other people. Although everybody needs mercy, ministers need it more than anybody else. And so we do. For if we are not faithful, we shall be greater sinners even than our hearers. And it needs much more grace for us always to be faithful, and much mercy will be required, listen to this, to cover our shortcomings. A man of God that doesn't know that he has shortcomings is fooling himself. Say amen. And he needs the mercy of God. He needs the mercy of God's people. Paul is writing this as he's leaving the scene. He said, so I shall take those three things to myself.
Spurgeon said, grace, mercy, and peace. You may have the two, grace and peace, but I need mercy more than any of you. Spurgeon said, so I take it from my Lord's loving hand, and I will trust and not be afraid, despite all of my shortcomings and feebleness and blunders and mistake in the course of my whole ministry. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, it's important to realize that Paul's faith is also unfeigned, and it's sincere. Amen. He's not trying to hide anything from Timothy. He's trying to encourage the young preacher in the faith. Now we see not only the timing of Paul's statement. If you go over to, look in verse number 4 with me, chapter number 4 just a moment. He said in verse number 6, I'll come back to this, but he said, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Did you know this today? You may be sitting there in that pew today, and you may be as healthy as a horse, or you may think you're as healthy as a horse. One phone call, one doctor visit can turn all of that upside down. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, you say, Pastor, why did you say that? Paul's in prison. Paul knew that he was fixing to be executed. And the timing of this writing is very important. He's fixing to leave the scene. But listen to me. There's some of you today, you're not even paying attention this morning. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you knew that this was the day you might depart this world, you'd pay attention. Amen. Because the most important thing when we leave this world is the unfeigned faith that Paul is speaking of here in this text. I'm telling you, beloved, Paul knew the time of his departure was at hand. I don't know when I'm going, but I thank God Almighty I know where I'm going. Amen. When I leave this world, and I appreciate the Lord in that faith that He gives. Amen. That measure of faith He gives to every man. And what you do with that measure of faith, beloved, will determine whether you ever get to enjoy this unfeigned faith that the Word of God talks about. We've noticed the timing of Paul's statement. He said here, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith which is in thee, and which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. I want you to notice secondly today in the message the treasure in the statement concerning unfeigned faith. Beloved, listen, this is precious to me. The Word of God tells us, beloved, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Amen. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You may be here today and you might not have $10 in your billfold. But I tell you, if you have Christ in your heart, you have a treasure. Amen. You have a treasure. Let's look at this. The Bible said, Paul said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Listen to what Paul said. He said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I want us today to just take a few minutes and open the treasure chest and see what the treasure is in this chest of unfeigned faith. What do you find when you open the treasure chest this morning? Number one, you find the promise of life. Look in verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible didn't say the promise of life, beloved, was in the baptistry. It didn't say the promise of life was in church membership. It didn't say the promise of life, beloved, was in the church. But the promise of life is in Christ Jesus. How does a person get put in Christ Jesus? By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when you open that treasure chest of unfeigned faith, you're going to find, beloved, the promise of life. You see, today, my promise of life is not dependent upon my performance. It's dependent upon the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible talks about being in Christ. The Bible talks about Christ being in you. The Bible said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. And beloved, there is no lie outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, when a person looks in this treasure chest of unfeigned faith, he finds peace. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace. Did you know today, I can't look in your heart. And I'll tell you this, the Holy Spirit can look in your heart. And God knows what's in your heart. But I'll tell you this today, there's only one place you're ever going to find peace. I'd look for it everywhere in the world. I joined the church and looked for it in the church. But the only place I could find peace was in this unfeigned faith, this sincere faith, this faith that's without hypocrisy. I came a sinner to the Savior, and the Savior saved the sinner and dumped His peace in my heart. And I've been able to say ever since then, if I died today, if I die tomorrow, heaven will be my home, because there's a peace, beloved, that my trust and my confidence is not. It's not in me. It's not in another. It's in the Lord Jesus. Amen. And Jesus alone. He's the one that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. When a person is born of God, beloved, listen, and their sin is forgiven, God gives them a peace that passes all understanding, and you'll not find it anywhere outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we open this treasure chest, we find the promise of life, and we find peace in verse number 2. Look at verse number 3 for just a moment. What else do we find? We find a pure conscience. I don't know about you, but I thank God today, beloved, for something. Listen, one preacher said it like this. He said, a good conscience is the best pillow you'll ever lay your head on. Amen. You say, Pastor, I just can't rest. I lay down at night and I don't know I'm saved. I don't know that heaven would be my home. But I'll tell you this. You put your trust. You get this unfeigned faith. Amen. You sincerely trust Jesus as your Savior. And you can lay down at night praying for others, and you will. And you'll lay down at night concerned about the souls of others, and you will. But you won't be concerned about your own, because you've put it in the hands of a holy God. Amen. And beloved, it's there for safekeeping. There's a pure conscience that comes. I always tell people this. I think I mentioned it a little while back. Beloved, listen, I used to weld for a living, and your clothes get dirty. They stink. They stink of smoke. They get grinding dust in them and things like that. I couldn't wait to get home and just get out of that uniform and get a shower. And I'd put on a new uniform and wear it that evening and wear it to work the next day. But I'm telling you, there was something down on the inside that soap and water couldn't touch. It wouldn't matter if you stood in the shower all your life. There's something called sin, and it's black and it's ugly. But thank God, one little dose of the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, will wash it all away. And God forgives us. I'll never forget that sense, beloved, of pureness, amen, because I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a pure conscience. What else does God give us in this treasure chest of unfeigned faith? We find the promise of life. We find peace. We find a pure conscience. But then this, we find people of like precious faith. I didn't realize this when I got saved. It was just me and him. But honey, he was putting me in a family. I'm telling you, I thank God for my earthly family, but I thank God for my church family. Amen. One of the things I enjoyed about traveling up and down the road and when I was with Rock of Ages was realizing that here and there and here and there and everywhere you go, God's got a group of people. Amen. He's got people that have put the same faith, unfeigned faith in the Lord Jesus. It's sincere. And beloved, listen, they love one another. The Word of God said here, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained like precious faith. Listen to me. You maybe think I'm speaking Greek this morning, but if you've been to Calvary and you've been forgiven, then you know what I'm talking about this morning, because it's a like precious faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen to this illustration. Our minister's wife told of a filling out of form in a pediatrician's office. You talk about people of like precious faith. Beloved, she filling out a form in the pediatrician's office. Besides the blank mark occupation were these words: if you devote the greater part of your time to loving, caring, and making a home for your family, put a big star in this space. You know, some people will ask a mother, where do you work? And they'll say, well, I don't have a job. I'm going to tell you, if you're a mother, you have the most important job on the face of the earth. Amen. And thank God there was a pediatrician that realized that it's wonderful for someone to devote the greater part of their life to loving their children and caring for their children and making a home for their family. Amen. And then not only do we find beloved promise of life in this treasure chest, and we find peace. That's what Lois found. That's what Eunice found. That's what Timothy found. That's what the Apostle Paul found. He found the promise of life. He found peace. He found a pure conscience. And then he found people of like precious faith. But then let me give you this. Look in verse number 7. We find something else. I've heard people say, well, I would get saved, but I'm just afraid I can't quit this. You understand what I mean? Let me tell you what salvation will do. It'll give you the power to live for God. The Bible said here in verse number 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Beloved, we'll find power. The word of God said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. I like what one preacher said. He said, can't. And a lot of people use the word can't. He said, can't is a won't that hasn't tried. Amen. How about Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We can find that power. Power not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. The power of a sound mind. Power to serve. Look at verse number 6. I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by putting on of my hands. Timothy never forgot this letter. Timothy never forgot his father in the faith. Timothy never forgot his mother's faith. Never forgot his grandmother's unfeigned faith. And beloved, listen, Timothy was able to serve God because God gave him the power to serve the Lord. Amen. And then there's the power to suffer. Look in verse number 8. This is not pleasant to talk about, but there are people in this room that are suffering. Beloved, listen, but I'll tell you this. God can give you the power to suffer for His glory. Look what he said in verse number 8. Paul said, be not thou for ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. I don't know what the TV evangelists do with verses like these. Amen. Paul must not have been right with God. He was in prison. Paul must not have been right with God. They beat him. Paul must not have been right with God. He was shipwrecked. I'm going to tell you, that's a bunch of hogwash. This man of God was right with God, and he had unfeigned faith. And beloved, he suffered as a result of it. But he suffered with the power of God. Look at verse 12. For which cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I don't know about you, beloved, but I believe God gives his people power. Amen. Power. Power. Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Then let me give you this. Not only do we find in that treasure chest the promise of life and peace and a pure conscience, people, other people of like precious faith, we find the power to do what we need to do. But we find something that many people have never found. We find purpose for our life. Look what the Bible said here in verse number 9. who saved us. Are you saved? Can you say you're in that us? Are you saved? Are you in that us? Who saved us and then called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to His own purpose. Did you know that when we trust Jesus, we put our faith in Him, that He has a purpose for our life? Oh, you say, preacher, you're a preacher. It doesn't matter who you are. Beloved, listen, when you put your faith and confidence in the Lord, He doesn't save you just to sit. He's got a purpose for you. He's got a purpose for your life. Amen. Aren't you glad that Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother, aren't you glad that they pointed him, beloved, listen, to the Savior, and that Paul the Apostle was able to help Timothy to understand that God has a purpose for our life. I want you to take just a moment and listen to this as I share it with you in an illustration. He said, this is Charles Spurgeon. He said, I cannot tell how much I owe to the prayers of my good mother. I remember her once praying. Now listen to this. Now, Lord, if my children go on in sin, it will not be from ignorance that they perish. And my soul must bear swift witness against them at the day of judgment if they lay not hold on Christ and claim Him as their personal Savior. I believe Timothy's mom and Timothy's grandmother could have said the same thing. Amen. If my children die without God, it's not going to be because of ignorance. I'm going to tell them. I'm not just going to tell them. I'm going to live before them in such a way that they can understand my faith is sincere. My faith is without hypocrisy. My faith works for the glory of God Almighty. Amen. What a blessing that is. We find that purpose in our lives. Let me give you this in closing today. We've noticed so far the timing of Paul's statement concerning this unfeigned faith. We've noticed the treasure in this statement concerning unfeigned faith. But I want you to notice the testimony in Paul's life concerning this unfeigned faith. Look with me if you will. First of all, unfeigned faith is a faith that's in the Savior. Look at verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, listen to what our Savior's done. He's abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light. How did He do it? Through the gospel. Beloved, no wonder God told the disciples, go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel. What is the gospel? Christ died for our sin according to Scripture. He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. This unfeigned faith is a faith that's placed in the Savior. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the water of life. I'm the bread of life. I am that I am. Thank God our Savior, the Lord Jesus, is worthy to be trusted. Amen. It is unfeigned faith, not only in the Savior, but this unfeigned faith is to be shared. What do you mean, Pastor? Beloved, God never intended for you and I to keep this to ourselves. This good news, let me ask you this. Brother Mike, you're sitting back there and your precious wife's mommy, she has cancer. And we know that, beloved, cancer is a cruel disease. Let's get a show of hands. How many of you have been affected directly in your family by cancer? Would you raise your hand? I want you to look. There's hardly a hand that's not being raised. Now, let me say this to you. If I had the cure, Brother Stephen, for cancer, and I kept it to myself, would that not be an awful thing? Did you know today that I do not know the cure for cancer? I do not have the cure for cancer. But I know the cure for sin. And God's people, listen, the gospel is what people need to hear. It's not what we think, amen. They need to hear that somebody loved them enough to die for them, that He died for us. Why did He have to die for us? Because we're all sinners, and we've come short of the glory of God, and we owe a penalty. The penalty for sin is death, but Jesus paid the penalty at Calvary for you. and for me. It's an unfeigned faith, and it's to be shared. It's an unfeigned faith that secures. In verse number 12, Paul said, I know whom I believed. There's a lot of people it wouldn't put a whom right there. They'd put what? I know what I believe, and I understand that. But Paul said, hey, it ain't about a what. It's about a who. That who's Jesus, amen. I know whom I believed. You say, Pastor, how could he say that? Who did he meet on the road to Damascus? He didn't meet Peter. He didn't meet John. Say amen. He didn't meet Jude. He met Jesus. I didn't meet a preacher that night. I met Jesus. Amen. May have been a preacher that pointed me to him. But beloved, our faith in him is what takes us to heaven. Unfeigned faith in the Savior. It's an unfeigned faith to be shared. It's an unfeigned faith that secures. Don't worry about it there, Brother Tyler. He thought Ben got by with it. I'll try it. Amen. 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 All right. And then let me give you this. It's an unfeigned faith that will stand. Beloved, in the end, if it was right in the beginning, it'll be right in the end. Amen. Have you ever heard this illustration? There was a marathon. And, you know, in a marathon, you got crowds standing along both sides of the route. And in this marathon, somebody got the bright idea, Brother Chris, that instead of running the whole thing, they would just blend right in with the runners right up at the end. But you see, the thing of it is, Brother Rick, after they do a marathon, the first thing they're going to do is set you down and check your heartbeat. They're going to check your blood pressure. Amen? And it looked like this guy won the race, but he was disqualified. He hadn't run a marathon. He just jumped in at the last minute, amen, and pretended to win. You might be here today and pretended, but in the end, you'll be disqualified. If you don't start right, honey, if you don't start with this unfeigned faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it ain't going to end right. And it ain't going to end well. Amen. I appreciate the fact that Paul said, listen, Timothy, you've got what it takes. Your mama had what it takes. Your grandmother had what it takes. And listen, in verse number 6 down through verse number 8, Paul said, I've got what it takes to stand in the end. He said, I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but on all them also that love his appearing. Let me give you this, beloved, and I'm finished this morning. If your faith is ready, and it's real, and it's without hypocrisy, and it's sincere, it's an unfeigned faith in the beginning. Don't worry about it. It'll work in the end. It don't just work in the beginning and work in the end. The just shall live by faith. It works on the journey. Amen. As we go along with God. Let me give you this. When Robert Ingersoll, the notorious skeptic, was in his heyday, two college students went to hear him lecture. As they walked down the street after the lecture, one said to the other, well, I guess he knocked the props out from under Christianity, didn't he? The other said, no, I don't think he did. He said, Ingersoll did not explain my mother's life. And until he can explain my mother's life, I will stand with my mother's God. I like that. Amen. A mother whose life has been changed by the glorious gospel, who now possesses something that we call unfeigned faith. We need more mothers like that, don't we? We need more fathers like that. We need more on the job like that. We need more who the same on Monday as they are on Sunday, the same on Friday as they are on Monday. We need more. More people with this kind of faith. It'll work in the beginning. It'll work in the end, and it'll work all the way through life. this kind of faith. Amen. Father, today I thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. God, I pray today, Lord, that as we've tried our best to share what you put in our heart, Lord, concerning this sincere faith, faith in a Savior that loved us and died for us. I pray, Lord, today that you would change lives. Help us, Lord, to realize what's at stake. Our children are watching us. Our grandchildren are watching us. Others, our Father, on the job, they're watching us. They know, our Father, whether our faith is sincere or not. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would have your way in this invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.